Now, is this usually the night, and our time has been chewed in all directions that we have left. Is this the night usually we have questions and answers? Okay. Well, if we were going to do that, and I'll talk to Pastor and see if we can't do this next week, is instead of you asking us questions, we're going to open it up to the floor with 24 questions, if time permits. And we'll even give you scripture reference. And they're not popcorn questions, but once you see it in the scripture, it's relevant and purposeful and helpful. Okay, with all that, though, time is fleeting, and I apologize for that. But I always enjoy Wednesday service. I do. And Victor, appreciate your song leading. That one song, you probably never heard that one before, did you? Okay. Yeah, amen. I'll never forget the time, first time when those leading songs were starting a church, and somebody picked "And Can It Be?" And you know, there's some definite tempo in that song that must be. Well, I, excuse the phrase, but I had a proverbial cow over that. And yeah, but I'll tell you what, we're glad that you're here tonight, and praise the Lord. Some of God's best people are in church on Wednesday, so you ought to reach over and give yourself a pat. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1, and I do not believe this message will take as long as the reading. Beginning in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let, in other words, another word for let is hindered, I was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Father, we ask now that you would bless the reading of this wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. And we ask, Lord, that we might see significant spiritual and scriptural truth to arise out of this passage that would help and equip us and encourage us for everyday life and that you'd bless us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 is our text. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, I'd like to speak to you this evening on three wonderful things that make a difference. The apostle Paul was a very significant and wonderful example of leaders, and he was a leader among men. Paul is God's example to you and I, every one of us. God, in his love for us, chose to set this man, the Apostle Paul, apart, who had his personal schooling, by the way, from the Holy Spirit of God. It is this same Paul that so actively opposed the Lord Jesus and actively and sometimes violently opposed his people as well, many, many times. Verse 1 is a great picture of God's grace to each one of us. By way of introduction, three short things. First of all, Paul had a servant spirit. You notice in verse 1 what it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. The word servant here means to be subservient or to be a bondslave. A bondslave, best described in the Old Testament, is one that when his term of 7 years or so was up, he left his wife, he left his children, he would go to his master and say, I love my wife, I love my children, I love you, and I want to serve you forever. The master would then take and bring some fellow servants. They would not bind him, but they would take him to a post on the door generally. And they would take his earlobe and press it tight. And they would use a tool that would be equivalent to a leather awl. And they would press it into his earlobe, rotate it, and bore a hole right in the earlobe. They may put a stick in it until it healed. But it was the identification and the mark of a bond slave. The difference being that he was not taken captive in serving for 7 years of duration, but he had freely and willingly given himself to his master. And that's what Paul has done. He is a bond slave, a servant. And that's what that means here. And he's willingly given himself to Jesus. Second, he was called of God, and he was faithful to it. Verse 1 says, called to be an apostle. The word called is interesting because it means in the Greek or the received text, it means he was invited and then he was appointed. He was not appointed until he responded to the invitation. God calls, we answer, and he appoints in life every day. Life is full of choices for the Christian. We listen to God as he calls, we answer him, and then he appoints or directs our steps daily. Thirdly, Paul was separated unto Christ, and he was also separated unto the gospel. Notice in verse 1, it says separated unto the gospel of Christ. That word simply means to be divided by a boundary. And that boundary made a difference in Paul's life. So with all of that done and said by way of introduction, there are three wonderful things in this chapter that make a difference. Number one, notice in verse 4, and we'll see the power of Christ. In verse 4 it says, and declared to be the Son of God. Notice what it says. With, what does that say? Power. Right. Now, when it comes to the power of Christ, there are six things at least that the power of Christ affects. Number one, he has power to convict of sin. In other words, when we look at this truth, It shows and reveals our need and the needs of others for salvation. It also shows when we are wrong as believers in Christ. Story could be illustrated about a man that had some pets in his house. One of the pets was very unique, and a lot of people would find obnoxious, and I, for that, would concur. He had a pet snake. I can only assume the snake was venomous. But he had a pet snake, and he went to the pet store, and they have all kinds of hamsters and you name it. And he bought a white mouse to use as food for his pet snake. So he went ahead and dropped the unsuspecting snake, or mouse, excuse me, into the snake's glass cage, where the snake was actively sleeping in a bed of sawdust. The tiny mouse had a most serious problem on his little hands. Obviously, this little white mouse needed to come up with a brilliant plan. So you say, what did this terrified little creature do? And here's what he did. I understand this actually happened. He took, and this little mouse quickly began to work feverishly in the cage on that sawdust, and he began to cover the snake with sawdust chips until it was completely out of sight and buried under the sawdust. With that, the little white mouse apparently thought that its problem had been taken care of. He had solved it. And the solution, however, to the little mouse's problem came from outside the cage. Now, I want you to think on this. This man is watching very much with interest that little mouse, the creativity of that little white mouse he just bought. And the man took pity on that little mouse, and he reached in, and the little mouse was not reluctant, and he picked that mouse up, and he took him out from the cage. There's a lesson to be learned. No matter how hard we try to cover or deny our sinful nature, it is foolish work. It really is. In fact, it's fool's work. Were it not for the saving grace of the outside source coming into our life of the Master's hand, sin, like that snake with the mouse, would eat us alive. The second thing about the power of the Lord Jesus is he has power to save. In other words, no measure of goodness or religion will do. It must be Christ. It is Christ or nothing else. Thirdly, he has power to keep us. Listen to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, Paul says, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, he has power to give us joy. We spoke a little bit about that at Sunday school last Sunday. But Jesus will satisfy you, and he will keep you happy. The world will not. Absolutely. Most insane thing I've ever seen in my life today. Not what my wife did, but she went in. She wanted to get her hair cut, styled or whatever it is. She won't let me do it. I don't know why, but I've offered. But we've got, you know, she cuts my hair. She does a pretty good job. And I'd like to thank you publicly again for cutting my hair. She just goes nuts when I do that. But we went into, what's the name of that place? Pardon? Supercut in Casa Grande. How many of you know where that is? There was a guy that came out of there, two young men, I guess they were, and they were out talking. And one, his hair went up over the top, and he had a brush tied in his hair, a brush. And I'm thinking, what is he trying to represent? And they were acting wacky. They went in at 10:30. He said, I've got to have a haircut. She said, what's the hurry? He said, I've got an appointment for a job at 11 o'clock. 11. Well, she cut his hair, this lady, and it wasn't right. He about had a cow. And he four-letter worded everybody in that place until the manager said, get out. We're not charging you. I think she may have said very lowly, but you ain't coming back either. Maybe that's what she said. So off that he was to look for his work. The world will not keep you happy. The world doesn't have any solution to a problem a person may or may not have. Fifthly, Jesus has power for service. In John 1:12, he came unto his own received it not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In other words, we live for him. Well, Paul would have quit long before the shipwreck had not the power of Christ been upon and in his life. Number six, he has power to present us. Listen to Jude verse 24 and 5. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And then he ends it and concludes, amen. Now, secondly, see, the first is the power of Christ. The second is the power of faith. Look at verse 8. Paul says, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you, that all your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. There's three things about faith. Our faith encourages other people through being thankful, our thankfulness, in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Secondly, our faith can help to initiate faith for others. In verse 8, that your faith is spoken of. What an influence that we can have on a church, a neighborhood, even a community. And then, and by the way, it can cause others to want to be saved, looking at your faith. Your faith influences and affects other people. Verse 8, throughout the whole world. You may have heard this story. It's supposed to be true. A man had a canary, and this canary had an unusually beautiful, beautiful song. It was just beautiful. So during the summer, it seemed a shame to keep the bird inside the house. And so he went ahead and took the bird, the beautiful canary, and hung it up on one of the limbs of a tree out behind the deck of the house. And so the owner, as he placed that bird there, the bird for a little while seemed to really enjoy the sunshine and the fresh air. However, there were a lot of sparrows in that area, and many of the sparrows picked up on the beautiful singing of this canary, and they began to frequent this tree and the cage quite often. And at first, this little canary was scared to death. It was frightened. But soon, it began to enjoy its new companions. And gradually, almost unperceptibly, he lost the sweetness of his song. And by the end of the summer, his singing was little more than the twitter of the sparrows. And here's what happened. Spending his summer, in the wrong environment caused this canary to lose his finest song. And brothers and sisters, if we get associated with the wrong thing and the wrong crowd, doing even the wrong thing, the joy of the Lord will begin to diminish until it will begin to fall away, and we'll lose the joy of the Lord and even our testimony. And quickly, just a very short, the third is the power of Christ. Look at, if you would, the verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now here's some things the gospel does. The gospel overcomes human weakness. Verse 16, he says, "I am not ashamed." Listen, you want to be stronger in your faith? Dig down into the gospel. Use it and become part of the witness of the gospel. Secondly, the gospel has overcome the penalty of sin. Look at verse 16. "For it is the power of God." What does that say? Unto what? Salvation, that's right. A man that became a friend of ours up in Anchorage, Alaska, his name is Gary Nurlfe. I met Gary door to door one day and met his wife, Sandra. My wife and I got to become very close friends with them. Sandra already was saved, but not grounded in certain areas. And Gary was not home, and she asked for us to come back, and we did. I remember Gary, in 1983 in Anchorage, Alaska, was saved in his home. Gary was in the Air Force. He was a mechanic on the C-130s, I believe it is, the Hercules. And he would work sometimes on maintenance on the upper level, that high wing. And one day, I don't know what the capacity, wasn't the pilot, wasn't the co-pilot, flight engineer perhaps, they were running some tests. They started up the turbine, the jet. You can run those without the prop. But then somebody inside inadvertently, when he was working on that engine, that motor, engaged the prop, and it blew Gary off the wing as if he wasn't even there, and blew him. I don't know how tall that wing is, but it's two, maybe three stories or better. I mean, it's a large aircraft. And he broke his leg, shoulder, collarbone, several other things, got just damaged. Rib cage fractured. And so the Air Force discharged him with full medical because he had to be that way. Wasn't his fault. He was good. He had a wonderful, made good rank and everything else. But here's Gary. And when we went back to talk to him about the Lord, he told us his situation and we listened intently. But after he got saved, he got baptized with his wife that following Sunday. But after he got saved, he looked at me sitting at that table and he pointed to himself. And here's what he said. He used to call me Brother Matt. He said, "Do you mean that now I don't have to go to hell?" Can you imagine that? And he was sincere. And he was... He was not making light of it. And this salvation that is offered to anyone who will receive God's Son. Look at verse 16. Salvation to everyone that believeth. I used to pastor a church called Fellowship Bible Baptist in Mesa. It was up on Power Road. It is. And just north of Brown and south of McKellar's and on the west side. It's now called Sawara Hills Baptist. And I remember church was beginning to grow in leaps and bounds. And there was a lady that was a member of the church. The church was very small when we came. And she said after maybe 4 months, 5 months, she said, "I've been talking to Dell." And her name is Butler, Del Butler. And she said, he would like to talk to you. And I said, okay. She said, I want to warn you, he's a difficult case. He's very difficult. And so I remember sitting across from the table. I like sitting across from dining tables when you're talking to people in the home. It's nice. It's relaxed. You can lay your Bible out, everything. We're talking. And this hard case, I said, Dal, now, how old are you? And he gave me his age. And I said, have you ever visited that church? He said, yeah, on occasion. He said, I'm kind of like the woodwork when I come. Everybody knows who I am. I said, that's good. I said, would you like to get saved now? And he stopped. And he looked at me. And he said, I think I would. His wife about fell off the dining table, the chair. She just about fell off the chair. And so he prayed with me, and he got saved. There was no lightning flash. He never even shed a tear, but he simply believed that Christ did save him. And what a transformation. Man, he became everything from greeter at the door of the church to usher to you name it. He did it. But what a difference took place in his life. Three wonderful things that make a difference. All found out of Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 16. And may God bless and use each one of us this year, 2019. Amen? Amen. I tell you, there's a song. What's the name of that? I Serve a Risen Savior. He's in the world today. What page is that? Somebody get that real quick, would you? And let's just finish with two verses of that song. Do you know it, Edie? Right offhand? Okay. Pardon? I couldn't hear you. He lives? Okay. And what page is that? Yes, sir. Why don't you come up and lead that? Let's do the first and the last verse. And let's stand together and listen. Here's the invitation. Here's the invitation. When we begin to sing this verse, if you, my friend,